Friday of the month, and that usually means we are talking about all the events going on in our small towns in northern Minnesota. Earlier this hour, Katie Marshall was talking about the virtual art opening in Grand Rapids. It's one of the creative ways that museums and galleries are making their art accessible to people at home. The Watermark Art Center in Bemidji has 4 virtual exhibits available for people, and a 5th is opening later today. Right now at watermark.org, you can take a look at watermarkartcenter.org. You can take a look at Blair Troyer's textile art exhibit called Portraits, Natalie Hemerska's show Other Dimensions, and a combination of prints and paintings, Paula Swenson's exhibit of paintings. And you Looking for America is Thomas Stilday's native bead artistry, along with pieces from his family's 5 generations of bead artists. And there is a new virtual exhibit that is going live today. It is the photography of R.J. Kern. It's called The Unchosen Ones, a collection of images honoring the animals and handlers who came in last place at 10 Minnesota County Fairs in 2016. The images are stunning and honest, and they look sometimes almost similar to paintings. R.J. joins us now. Thanks for being with us today.
Hey, thanks, John and Heidi. Great to be here.
So what inspired you to do this exhibit of the last place?
Well,
county fair winners. I love this.
Yeah, the county fair winners. I think we all know what it's like not to be chosen for something in life, whether it be for love, for a job, or a juried group exhibition, an art opening. And so empathy is really a key component to the project. And there was this movie, I don't know if you ever saw this, Talladega Nights with Will Ferrell in it. And in the movie, his father put all this pressure on him. He had to be the best race car driver. And he told his dad, he's like, son, if he ain't first, you're last. And so he went through his whole life thinking, you know, he had to be the best. And the movie's a lot of funny parts in it, but that was one of the things that was in my head as I was creating this work, is this, you know, everyone wants to feel like a winner, but no one, we all can't be winners. And so this notion of, what does it mean to just do your best? And oftentimes it's the attitude of not giving up and persistence that triumphs.
Was it good for them? Did they appreciate it and help their morale a little bit?
The emotions were really raw at the beginning. You know, they were right off the judging line as the county fair animal competitions. You know, there's the judge, and he lines them up in terms of he or she, the judge, in terms of the ones, the top contenders, or who's going to go to the Minnesota State Fair, and then kind of all the way down the line to the last place contenders. And so, you know, these kids care for the animals, and they work hard for the animals. I mean, they feed the animals breakfast before they eat breakfast. And so when you're the last place kid there at the line, and you go up to them, and they care about it. But, I promised to put them in the best light possible. And I think at the time, no one really knew what the project was about. And then you fast forward, and I mean, these images and photographs were published in National Geographic magazine. They were really elevated in this spotlight. And so, of course, the one question that I asked them before I photographed them is, I said, show me what next year's grand champion would look like.
Nice.
And it kind of plants this kind of seed of hope for the future. And so you could see that in their facial expressions and all of that.
Yeah, there's such pride in the way that they present themselves. It's one of my favorite things to do is to go to our local county fair. I didn't grow up a farm kid, so that was sort of new to me, watching these judgings of animals. And I find it the most hopeful thing I've ever seen in my life. The kids in their white shirts and standing at attention, and they've got to follow all these rules. And they are so proud of their animals they have there.
Yeah, well, and there's so many amazing life skills that are learned by youth in those competitions. It's, you know, how do you conduct yourself under pressure? How do you public speak and present as a young adolescent, right? And I think the notion of hard work oftentimes it's the kids that get 5th and 6th place, they're the ones that really had to work on their work ethic and went on later in life to become, you know, teachers and doctors and lawyers and, you know, big contributors to society, right? And so that's the big picture, is those life skills.
So I know how difficult it is to photograph animals. How many, for, give us an example of how many shots it takes to get the one you want, specifically.
Well, it patience and a sense of humor go a long way. I say photographs of animals are one thing. Photographs of kids are another. Photographs of animals with kids are completely different order of magnitude in terms of complexity. You know, really what I would we give ourselves about 5 minutes for the portrait session to occur. Now, building up to that, the big hard part is earning their trust. And so I introduced myself. I said, you know, I'm an artist working on this fine art portrait project. This was funded by the Minnesota State Arts Board. And I have my studio there, so I get the parents involved. They all have to sign a model release, so I get their information. And so they know I had my portfolio there to show them my completed work. So they know that I'm working on a legitimate project. And after that, it was most kids have a pretty good control of their animals because they're used to showing them. What I think is often the hard part, that first attempt, is just building that rapport. Most kids, if you put a camera in front of them, they want to do their face, their smile, like what mom wants them to do. And that isn't always as authentic and what they're actually feeling in the moment. And so a lot of the times I would just simply say, you know, chin up, you know, feel strong, feel proud. And then most of them aren't used to seeing themselves with that type of studio lighting. And so I'll generally just take one or two photos, show them the back of the camera. Then they're like, whoa. And then we kind of go from there. And I would say 10 photographs is usually all we really have time for, because wow, they're usually on to the next exhibit. So it's more about quality over quantity. You know, it's a medium format camera, which it's one frame per second is the fastest it will go. It's not a super, it's not like, you know, an Uzi, if you will. It's more like a musket, if you will, in terms of how fast you can photograph. But that was about the approach.
We're talking to RJ Kern. His photography exhibit opens today at the Watermark Art Center. The work will be hung at the Watermark, but you have to look at it through the windows. But you can check out the exhibit virtually on Watermark's website, watermarkartcenter.org, and you can check it out right now at RJ Kern's website, rjkern.com. That's what John and I are looking at. And explain to folks how they're standing in front of screens, the kids, right?
It's a backdrop, hand-painted backdrop, right? And the important thing about these photographs is that they were not taken in a studio environment. I'm not interested in, like, hyper-perfection, hyper-real. I like messy. I mean, life is messy. You know, animal contests are messy. Yeah. It's a hot summer day. But I brought the backdrop up. It kind of elevates them in this regal status. And I feel like it's like it puts them in the 5 minutes of limelight. Like, yes, no, what you do matters. There's bigger issues that I know people like National Geographic are interested in, involving about food source. And of course, the 4-H is very actively involved in, like, building life skills for the kids. So, you know, when someone takes an interest in what they're doing, I feel like they're like, yeah, what I do does matter. And so that's really what I hope to see in these large, they're 53 by 43-inch photographs, and there's no glass or acrylic in front of them. If you were to view them in person, they're simply suspended by two pieces of wood on the top and on the bottom, so that very much like how the subjects are very fragile and raw, you know, I wanted the photographs to be very accessible, that you could see every little detail without having glare and reflection. Now, with COVID, obviously, now you have to be in your car at a stoplight outside of the Watermark Art Center to view it, but they are large, and you can see them from the window. So hopefully it lets people, especially as we're kind of longing for the county fair season, and hopefully that will continue in Bemidji, gives maybe a little hope for the future.
I'm looking at a picture of a goat, a mountain goat, or a goat sitting on a rock. Looks like he has his leg bent. Looks like he's taking a nap. How on earth did you have the opportunity to take that picture? You must have had to have great patience.
Well, patience and a sense of humor goes a long way. That particular animal, if you back up a little and understand, I mean, humans have had relationships with goats far before dogs and cats. Goats, according to National Geographic, are the first domesticated animal. And so they're interested in us just as much as we're interested in them. I mean, so we've used them for, tens of thousands of years for, fiber, textile artists, with wool, for milk, for cheese, for meat, for companionship. And so it's just kind of understanding that relationship. And of course, being patient helps out a lot too.
How would you describe your style as far as photography goes? There's kind of a dreaminess to what we are looking at.
Sure. No, I appreciate the kind words. a lot of folks, when they see the work for the first time, they do think it's a painting. And I'm heavily inspired by European landscape paintings, both in terms of composition and light. If you look at the word photography, it means writing with light. So that's the one thing that I can bring to the table as an artist is bringing my light. So I have a pretty intricate lighting setup that allows me to kind of shape and mold the light in that kind of painterly aesthetic, if that makes sense, that look. Shadow details are really important, like the texture of the Angora wool in the goats, or the dust, the sawdust that's scattered on the floor that's, absorbing all the manure and stuff that's just from the animals, or the clean pressed white clothing from the dairy divisions for usually goat and sheep divisions of the 4-H. Those kids look really sharp and they present themselves well. And so I really try to, this is very much a social documentary project as well. I think we'll look back in 50 years and enamor in all these little details. And that's what I'm really kind of, that's the big picture that I like to think.
Sharp's a perfect word for those kids. Gosh. Artists are keeping us going during this time of social distancing. We've been in musicians' living rooms on Facebook, live concert events. We're watching our favorite movies, TV shows, professional theaters, making their shows accessible on YouTube. We're reading books authors put out there. And now we can go to the gallery without walking through the doors. Virtual galleries and gallery openings are a way during times of COVID-19 and other examples of creative minds, figuring out a creative solution that elevates everyone. You can see RJ Kern's exhibit, The Unchosen Ones, at watermarkartcenter.org later today. Thanks so much for talking with us today.
My pleasure, John and Heidi. Thank you.
The First Friday Arts Cavalcade made possible by the Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota. Coming up, we're going to have our extra hour of the morning show. You are listening to Northern Community Radio, 91.7 KEXE, Grand Rapids, Aiken, Hibbing in Virginia, 90.5 KBXE, Bagley, Bemidji, Fauston, Walker, and Park Rapids, 89.9 in Brainerd, Crosby, Fort Ripley, and Ironton. And you can also hear us in Ely at 103.9.